Morning, everybody. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Jim. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Dale. Hi, Andy. Hi, Rich, because I know you listen to this, too, as you're getting ready to put it up there. Praise God. Anyone else who's listening online? Terry and Barb, hope you had a good time last night. They went to a rally last night. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to this morning about studying God's Word. The picture on the front of the cover, kind of the bulletin cover this morning, is what we used to call an old couple. Now we call our contemporaries. Couple studying God's Word together. Studying God's Word. You know, the Bible tells us that God has exalted His Word even above all His name. So when we talk about studying God's Word, we realize that this is a book that's written to us. This is a book that's written to explain who God is to the people around us. It explains how God does things. It demonstrates God's love for us. Studying the Word of God lets us get to know more about God than we would get any other way. So the question comes up is, why do we want to get to know God? Scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. When you love somebody, part of the natural outcropping of that is getting to know more and more and more about them. Our tool for doing that is studying God's Word. In Ecclesiastes 12, beginning with verse 9, says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of the scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." Much study is wearisome to the flesh. And it begins to be a question of why we are studying God's Word. If the push to study God's Word is just because somebody said you have to, somebody said it was the right thing to do, if you are studying God's Word just because it seems like the acceptable thing to do and that's what you're supposed to do when you're a Christian, then absolutely the words of Solomon right here are absolutely true. Much study is wearisome to the flesh. If we're doing something just because we have to do it, or somebody we're expected to do it, if we're doing something just because people will look down on us if we don't, or we think that, it becomes a burden. It becomes a weight. So when I talk about studying God's Word, it's important to go in and take a look at attitudes. If we truly do love Him because He first loved us, and we are wanting to get to know more about Him just because we recognize that He loves us and we love Him, and part of that building that relationship is getting to know who God is, then we're not doing it because somebody's telling us we have to. We're not doing it out of a sense of obligation or a sense of pressure. We're doing it out of an excitement and an anticipation to learn who God is. In 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 14, Paul says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, but to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." Solomon told us that he had put things in order. He'd written down Proverbs to help to teach and to help to guide people. But he recognized that there's never an end to writing books. Of making of books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. So Solomon says that there is knowledge out there, and the knowledge is important, but make sure your heart is set to that you desire to learn and not that you're being forced to learn. And then Paul tells Timothy that you're studying the Word of God to rightly divide and to understand what it is that the Word of God says. Because there are people who will argue about a little bit of a scripture here and a little bit of a scripture there, or who will take what God has said and try to distort it. And having distorted, they will cause other people to fall away. They will cause those who haven't studied, those who don't know, those who don't have an understanding of what God's Word says. And as I read that passage, as I think about this, I know there's so much division within the Church of Jesus Christ, and a lot of the division comes from a different interpretation of what a passage of Scripture means. A different interpretation of God's plan for our life. A different interpretation of how to baptize. A different interpretation of pick a topic. People have gotten divided on it. And the bottom line is, we are called to walk in unity one with another. We are called to walk in love one with another. And we are called to build up one with another. The Scripture identifies us as members of the body of Christ. And it goes in to talk about how all the members do not have the same job. And since all the members do not have the same job, they're going to do things differently. The eye is not the ear. The ear is not the hand. The hand is not the foot. We all have a different function and different perspective in that. It stands to reason that there are going to be some things that are going to jump out of Scripture and catch your attention that is going to be different than what jumps out of somebody else's. Or somebody jumps out of Scripture at somebody else. At this conference we were just at, one of the things they were talking about is passionate pursuit, and how as we read the Word of God, how God has wired us is what we begin to see in there. How one person all through the Bible can see a call to evangelism. How another person all through the Bible can see a call to reconciliation and to healing. How one person all through the Bible can just see a call just to worship God. And the same words are in there for everybody who reads it. It's how we take it and how it begins working in us. Because we are all gifted different. We are all wired different. We are all have our own specific unique calling, our own specific unique purpose. And we are all here for just such a time as this. So to come up and look for ways to divide is absolutely not what the Bible tells us to do. It tells us to come together and love one another. If we come together and love one another and love God and serve one another, as we're studying, as we're getting to know more about God, as we're finding in Scripture what God has called us to do and how He's called us to work, but we still have that love and blessing that we can reach out to other people. I am a firm believer that no denomination is going to heaven. But out of every church, out of every denomination, out of every group, God has a remnant. God has those who are seeking His face. That just because I go to such and such a church is not an automatic pass into heaven. But just like Peter said after he'd gone to Cornelius' house and began to tell him, to tell the people of the household about Jesus and how the Holy Spirit fell on him, Peter recognized that in every place, those who seek the Lord will be found by Him. So I am less concerned about somebody's doctrine as I am about their heart. I am less concerned. Now granted, bad doctrine is something that you can discuss. But how many of us like to be told right up, you're wrong? Just go ahead and quiet down. You're wrong. It's kind of hard to get in a good fruitful discussion that way. It's very easy to get into an argument that way, but it's hard to get into a fruitful discussion that way if we start the discussion by telling people that they're wrong. Or we start the discussion with people telling us that we're wrong. So this studying the Word of God, just as Paul told Timothy, study for yourself to understand what God's Word says, so that you can rightly divide the Word of truth, so that you can watch over the things that are going on. But it also says, but shun profane and idle babblings, talking just to talk, stirring up trouble just to stir up trouble. It says, because they will increase to more ungodliness. Psalm 119. Good news is I'm not going to read all of Psalm 119. But I do have a couple of little sections in Psalm 119 I want to talk about. I said, what's the purpose of studying God's Word? Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9, says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your Word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The psalmist is giving praise to God because of his word. You lead me. You teach me. You teach me how to cleanse my ways. You teach me how not to wander. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Teach me your statutes. I love the judgments of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies. The psalmist is giving praise to God because God has laid out a plan. Did you know? And I was reminded of this yesterday, so I'm not going to pretend like I just one of those trivial facts I keep in the back of my head. Did you know that in the book of Deuteronomy, the command to the king of Israel, remember at the time of the book of Deuteronomy, there was no king of Israel, except for God was the king of Israel. There was no earthly king of Israel. But in the book of Deuteronomy, there is a command. When a king is crowned in Israel, the king is to write out with his own hand a book of the book of Deuteronomy. He is to write down. Remember, Deuteronomy, among other things, is basically a summary of what was in Leviticus, a summary of what was in Numbers, a summary of what was in Exodus. As God gave the law, as God gave directions, as God led them through the wilderness and took care of them, the book of Deuteronomy, among other things, is a summary of what had happened in the earlier books. But the king was supposed to write out with his own hand a copy of the book of Deuteronomy. He was supposed to read it every day. Every day he was supposed to be reading in the book of Deuteronomy. That was part of being a ruler over the nation of Israel, was to meditate on the Word of God continually. Back to Psalm 119, drop down to verse 97. Says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. In the earlier passage where we read, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. Your word helps me to walk uprightly. Your word helps me to do what is right in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. So much of what we see in this world, as all goes back to what's written about in the book of Proverbs. It says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. There's two verses that in the New King James are exactly the same, but in one of the other translations, the other one is pronounced, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of destruction. As we go and we guide our own life, as we try to guide our own self through this life, without taking heed of the laws of God, without taking heed of the guidance that God lays out in His Scripture, we find ourselves getting in trouble. We find ourselves getting in more and more turmoil, more and more problems. You take a look at the world around us, and you see what happens as people decide that they want to do things their way and not seek the guidance and the blessing of God. We are called to study the Word of God just to get to know who He is. But it needs to be a love action, not an obligation. It needs to be a desire from the inside to get to know more and more and more about God. Not something that is laid out. I never went to a Catholic school, but I've heard about the nuns with the rulers. You got to do it this way. But I have seen what happens when people are forced to read the Word of God. And I've also seen what happens when people desire to read the Word of God. Desire to know more about God. Desire to get to know who God is. And believe me, the desire, the one who's seeking the Word of God out of a desire, is much, much better off. In John 5, beginning with verse 37, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And they have accused Him of being His own witness. Your word is not true because, you know, you're testifying for yourself. And He goes on and says, no, I'm not testifying of myself. The works that I do testify of me. And then verse 37, and the Father Himself who sent me has testified of me. For you have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form. But you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He sent, Him you did not believe. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for reading God's word without seeking to understand God's word, without seeking to hide it in their hearts. We've talked before about how they had their laws that they built around the laws. You know, you got the Ten Commandments and you got even the dietary laws that were set up, and they built their own structure around that so that they never got close to breaking the laws. Yet they were going to stone Jesus because He healed somebody on the Sabbath day. Like, don't you understand what this is about? Jesus rebuked them because even though they had read the Word of God, they weren't allowing it to pierce their hearts, weren't allowing it to pierce their life. They couldn't say, like the psalmist said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against You. They were using God's Word as a goad. They were using it as a tool. They were using it as a weapon. Gee, Master, here's this woman who was taken in adultery. The law of Moses said that such a one should be stoned, but what do you say? That using the Word of God as a barrier, as a tool to tear down other people, is not what God's Word is designed for. God's Word talks about His love, talks about His nature, talks about His plan for our purpose and purpose for our life. Jesus said, You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. Jesus said, You read the Word of God, and you completely missed everything that was said. In Acts 17, beginning with verse 10. Talks about Paul on a missionary journey. He had been in Thessalonica. And then verse 10, it says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also not a few of the Greeks and prominent women as well as men." That Berean attitude is referred to in the book of Acts. That's why there's a Berean bookstore. There's Berean Bible training courses to teach people to get to know the Word of God. But the people of Berea, the people of Thessalonica, where the First and Second Thessalonians is written later on, some of them received Paul and Silas, but some of them absolutely didn't. And even some of the ones who did, after Paul and Silas went to Berea and people's lives started getting changed there, they started stirring up the area. They started stirring up problems because of jealousy, because of not really taking the Word of God into their hearts. Not really taking the Word of God in to allow God's Word to make a change in our lives. Psalm 19, and I can't quote the whole thing anymore, but talks about the statutes of the Lord are right, making wise the simple. God's Word teaches us wisdom as we study it, as we draw close to it, as we draw close to God through His Word. Back to Ecclesiastes 12. Only this time I'm going to go a little bit farther than verse 12 like I did last time, but still starting back at verse 9. Ecclesiastes 12, beginning with verse 9, says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he sought to teach the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or evil." Verse 14 there, where it ends with, "For this is man's all," in the King James it's rendered, "For this is the whole duty of man." Solomon, the wisest man in the world, wisest man in history, because God gave him the wisdom, and then he set, and I am pretty sure that Solomon wasn't overly endowed with common sense, because even though God had given him wisdom, he set out to prove all the things that God had already given him to him as wisdom. Anybody with 700 wives and 300 concubines has missed the point somewhere. Yet, all the things that happened in Solomon's life, as it comes to the end of it here in Ecclesiastes, he said to love God, to fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is the end of man. This is man's all, as it says here in the New King James. The guy who says, "I set to write this stuff out, to teach and to instruct. God has given me so much, and I've learned so much, and I've proved so much in my own life that I don't want other people to make the mistakes I made." The words of the wise are like goads. And we think about that. What does that mean? What does a goad do? A goad was what was used by the herders. If we wanted to herd the sheep or the goats, they had a goad. Ideally, the sheep and the goats will go where you tell them to go. Realistically, sometimes they need a little help. Sometimes they need something to catch their attention. That stick, kind of sharp, not real sharp, but kind of sharp, sharp enough to catch your attention. You need to go this way. The words of the wise lead us in directions that we need to go. Teach us how we ought to act. Show us the way to live. Show us the way to do everything. And point out when we're in the wrong way. The words of scholars are like well-driven nails. Well-driven nails hold things together and build things up. Of making of many books, there is no end. We can always write this stuff out. Much study is a weariness, is wearisome to the flesh. But if we are deciding that we don't want to walk in our flesh, we want to walk in the Spirit. If we decide that we want to learn the Word of God, study the Word of God, not because somebody told us we had to, not because it's what's expected, not because it's on our checklist, but because the God who created the universe, the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, loves us, wants a relationship with us, sent His Son to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins and impart to us His righteousness, wants that relationship, sent us this love letter. When we were down at the conference, they had me taking up the offering, and one of the things I said one day is, you know, you can read the Word of God and find yourself in it. Do you know that? God's Word is a love letter to you. And as you read the Word of God, you can recognize your own self in it, that He's talking to you. And I read the passage of the Psalms talking about sailors. I'm like, I was a sailor for 14 years. I didn't know God had written a note just to sailors. But yet God's working. God's Word is written for each and every one of us. And if we come to Him with our whole heart, seeking His face, seeking His plan, seeking His purpose, seeking to know Him better, and we do it in His Word, then we can see God's hand at work in our lives. We can recognize the love of God shown in so many different ways. But if we just go to read the book because somebody told me I had to, we find ourselves like the Pharisees, using it as a weapon, using it to tear down others, rather than to show the love of God, to pour that the love of God that we ingest by studying His Word would begin to pour through us, to touch and to change hearts, and to tear down walls and build bridges with our brothers and sisters, that the whole body of Christ might be strengthened, that every joint supplies. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that through Your Word You guide us and teach us. Through Your Word, Lord, You show us Your love. Through Your Word, Lord, You reveal who You are. And through Your Word, Father, You reveal the relationship that You desire to have with us. So we thank You, Lord, that You are still at work, that You are still 100% real, absolutely true and absolutely faithful. And that Your Word is written that we might come to know You and we might be drawn by Your Spirit. As we study, that the Holy Spirit can bring these words back to our remembrance. As we meditate on Your Word, as we hide Your Word in our heart that we might not sin against You. As we meditate on Your Word, we learn to keep our way clean and keep our way right. As we study Your Word, we find that You make us wiser than our enemies. So, Father, we just give You praise and thanks for Your Word. And thanks, thank You, Lord, for the desire that You place in us to get to know You better. That the study becomes not a weariness to the flesh, but a desire and a hunger after righteousness. So, Father, we give You all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.